Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is the 343rd week of Turning Towards Life from Third Space, and we are Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again. I'm really enjoying, Lizzie, you'll know this, other people may not know this, I'm far away from home today, and I've been sort of traipsing around the place that we're staying, trying to find little spots of Wi-Fi and little spots of 5G to see if there's a place that will carry the data on this extraordinary, I still think, extraordinary technology that we can do this. I'm in France, you're in London, we can talk to one another, and then people all around the world can hear us, and it's really easy. And really, no generation in history before us has had the ability to reach out into the world the way that we can because of all of this. So I'm feeling very grateful for that and very, very happy to see you, Lizzie, and glad to be here. And welcome to all of you who are with us. Thank you. Some of you have traveled with us for well over 6 years, and others of you are finding your way to us for the first time, maybe because somebody told you about this. And we are really glad to have you with us. And we have a wonderful source again today to begin our conversation. Thank you, Lizzie, for that.
You're welcome, Justin. And yeah, I'm completely amazed at technology, and I'm also amazed at like cars and things like that as well. Like today I was thinking we're going on a trip. It's Sunday, but it's lovely weather. We're going to see my godmother, and she lives in the countryside. And I was thinking, this has not always been possible just to go somewhere in a car and then come back again. Like it's a big thing. So I'm also in that serious appreciation of what the world can do and what we can do. It's amazing. And this week we have this very short little source. And Justin, you inspired me by bringing something as straightforward as I think it was a couple of weeks ago, as talking about the barriers to love. And our job isn't to seek for love, but to see if we can remove all the barriers to love. And it was a challenge to talk about it because it's so succinct. And this is really succinct. And I know that it's really challenging. And I'm really grateful that we can, as you were saying last week, kind of muddle our way through and find what there is to say and see what happens. It's really cool. So this is a translation by Jane Hirschfield of Lal Dead from the 14th century, and it goes like this. I was passionate, filled with longing. I searched far and wide. But the day that the truthful one found me, I was at home.
Lizzie, before I read this wonderful, very concentrated source, just want to say to everyone, you can always find these in the email if you sign up for it on our turningtowards.life website and in all the notes that go out on YouTube and all the podcast places. So this is by Lal Dead. I was passionate, filled with longing. I searched far and wide. But the day that the truthful one found me, I was at home.
Thank you. So I think I'm probably bringing this because I can't identify how this has ever not been me. It's like this first, when you read the first part, Justin, I was passionate, filled with longing. I searched far and wide. I can feel the excitement of that. I can feel the yes of it all and the gallopiness inside of me. I often have like a pushing feeling on the inside of my body that's kind of surging me forward into life at some speed lots of the time. And I know that still now, and maybe less now, but for many years a lot, I really was on the hunt I can feel my on the huntness for love, for experiences, for enlightenment, for things that would fill me up, that would satisfy me. So all of the things that I wanted, I felt like I needed to seek for them and still do. And I also have known that this being at homeness and being right here has become a crazily excellent source of feeling full of life and hugely satisfied with myself and this body and this experience that's mine and no one else's. And so I'm bringing this because it feels like somehow this is like an implicit conversation in myself, but I'm not sure I've ever really found the language for this dance between seeking and finding and recognizing that I'm often looking in the wrong place for the thing that's already here, and how I want to acknowledge how many times I make and have made that mistake, and to continue deepening into this invitation to seeing what satisfaction, what fullness, what aliveness really means and where it's found. And maybe sometimes that is somewhere else, but, and of course it is. But I know that I've been on the end of the kind of grieving part of, oh, I've come to the end of the rainbow and there's nothing here. I'm literally standing here, but what's there is me, not the thing that I thought was going to make me happy or something. And then the journey of being with myself and feeling my who-ness, my Lizziness, being where I am, and wondering what I can receive by being here, being present, being myself, is a really big one that I really w want to talk about.
This is such an important topic. And I'm very grateful for these short sources, Lizzie, because they also call on us to reach deeper and further, because the source is going to do less work on our behalf. I'm really taken by what you said about searching in the wrong place for something that's already here. And I was thinking that there are some things that really are worth searching outside ourselves for. Like, it's really important not to get simplistic about this. Some things we need to reach outside ourselves. That's how we build communities and make homes and contribute to the world and feed our families and, you know, all of that reaching out and reaching out and reaching out that we have to do. And sometimes we really have to reach far from ourselves to find security or safety or all of those kind of things. So there's all of those things where looking away from ourselves into the world really matters, but it would be a mistake to imagine that that's where everything is, or sometimes where even the most important things are. And one of the things that I think is very difficult about this pattern for all of us is that we live in a world, any of us who live in a 21st century post-industrial capitalist economy will be coming across messages all the time that tell us always that the place to find whatever it is, that deep longing that we have, is always outside of ourselves. If you're going to be in a project, you do the right course, you buy the right product, you watch the right TV program, you have the right friends, you know, all of those. The economy is built on teaching us that we need to reach out more and more and more and more, because that's how economies work. So we don't, many of us, get very much support in the other part of it that's so necessary. And we've talked a lot about, Lizzie, you and I, about how very often what we encounter in all the educational systems that we're in is one that teaches us about out and not in, away and not here. So most of us are pretty starved of this other part that you're talking about. And for anyone who reads the poem, it's very clear that this word, this line, the day that the truthful one, capital T, capital O, found me, I was home. That there are lots of different ways of interpreting it. If you have a religious or theological kind of orientation to the world, that might be God. But there are lots of other ways of reading it too. It might be life, or it might be something really essential about being here, the something, and it might be the life that we were never really separate from, the life that we're all made of. And anyone who's, you're right in this world, Lizzie, now, but anyone who's been near newborns, we know that they're just pure life. They haven't yet got into all of the patterns of hiding themselves away and looking good and all of that. So maybe it's just life. And the thing that I heard just this week that I so appreciated was, we come into the world as life, as this truthful one, as an expression of the truthful one, filled with all of the qualities, and you and I have talked about this part many times before, filled with all of the qualities that the truthful one is filled with, that life is filled with: courage and creativity and love and inspiration and grief and boldness and sadness, and it's all there, all of those qualities are there. And then what happens is that for very good reasons, we forget that about ourselves, and very often we forget very specific ones. It's what I was thinking whilst you were talking about, I forget my own courage, or I forget my own wisdom, or I forget my own sense of inherent safety. And so I think that this poem, in a way, is also about remembering, because the thing that we forget, and we might have very good reasons to forget it because it wasn't welcome in our culture or in our family system, or because of the power structures around us, or because something that happened at school. Very often, the very thing that we're searching the world for is the thing that we already are, but we forgot that we were that. So we travel the world to find a place that we can find safety, the feeling of safety, a relationship that will have the feeling of safety, or a place that's got that kind of groundedness. And we forget that that kind of safety is also here, right inside us, just by virtue of being a person. Which is the way I was listening to what you were saying, was that sometimes what we're searching for is what we already are, that we don't know that we are. And then the question is, and this be, I might have something to say about this later as we go, but I suppose for me the question is if very, very often what we most long for, what we most are, and what most meets us and brings us to life and brings us to contact with the world is right here, and if we're not going to find it by traveling the world or working 10 times harder, or all the things that we do, what on earth do we do to let it find us? If we're not going to find it, if we're not going to find it that way, what does it mean to be at home so that the truthful one can find us in the way that Laldead is talking about? And that's one of the things I'm musing on.
Yeah, that's where my thoughts were going as well, Justin. And I was reminded as you were talking of being introduced to this concept and at the time feeling like, well, no, everything is out there. Like that is where everything is. I need to leave even here right now because there's something really pulling me to somewhere else. And only after many times of grieving that I didn't ever find the thing I thought I was going to find wherever I went, did I realize that this was a serious thing to consider, actually. And I remember at the time, after the multiple kind of grief experiences of, oh my gosh, I thought it was going to be here and it's not here. I thought it would be this relationship and it's not. I thought it would be this place, it's not. I thought it would be this experience, these people, it's not. So this longing in me wasn't satisfied by the things that I had previously tried to meet it with. And I remember thinking, well, let's just like you're saying, well, what do I do then? And so I remember sitting down and thinking, okay, well, how do I identify what it is that I really want, which might have been connection or warmth or joy or love? And then I thought to myself, well, if I sit here and I'm able to identify the real longing, can I see what it is to give that to myself? Like, am I that kind of being that can just provide for myself in some way? And I'm not saying this is the whole story, but this is how I really began doing the thing of, well, let's see, like, what do I do then if I'm not going to go there and I'm going to stay here? What is there that I can provide for myself that I thought was going to be met by me doing that thing, which now I know is not going to do? Can I do it for myself? Because if I can't, then nothing, my longing can't be met. So then what am I going to do? So it was an experiment in a way. I remember sitting down thinking, okay, so I'm longing for connection. What does it mean to be connected to another person, to life, to myself? Can I bring that to me? I remember this kind of longing for intimacy. And I was like, well, can I be intimate with myself? Can I sit here and truly be close to myself? And I remember it being very funny in some way to me that every time I tried to do it, I was like, yeah, I can do that. I, in this moment, if I sit here and be warm with myself, I can feel the warmth that I've been wanting. If I do the dishes and see what I can do to feel joyful and really intentionally meet myself with the joy that I'm seeking, can I do that? And I was like, yes. And so this like hilarious extended experiment started happening. And like you say, Justin, since having children as well, they're that. So I feel like I've now been kind of re-sucked in my more recent times to what it means. Festival bought me a tiny leaf yesterday. I said, Mum, look at this. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at that. And we stayed for a few minutes examining this really extraordinary little tiny, what do you call it? Like a lily pad, like a mini lily pad with kind of flowers coming out of the middle of it that she'd found somewhere. And that met something really deep in me to be in the world, like fully in the world and receiving the world. And it came through this little funny little lily pad that she had found. So I feel like it's all this big experiment, and the ways that I have found to cultivate for myself to be in receipt of the things I seek is in very ordinary domestic, immediate ways. That, of course, then I think what it does for me is that because I'm filled with that, when I do go to somewhere else, or I am in an outward thing, like you were saying, I'm not looking for those things there. I'm doing them from a different reason. So I arrive at your house not to get love and not to get the things I need. I arrive at your house with something to give, with something to bring, because I'm filled in the best way that I can muster with myself. So the reason for going places isn't seeking anymore. It's maybe to make a contribution or to really receive something in myself through being there and be inspired or something, rather than trying to get something from wherever I go.
And when we go somewhere desperately seeking, we might go places seeking things, it seems to me. Like I come to your house for friendship and companionship and the joy of being with you and your children, for example. That seems exactly right, brings us into relationship. Or I might come because for a cup of tea, because I'd really like a cup of tea. But when we go trying to find something that we're not we're trying to get filled up with something that doesn't get filled up that way, gets filled up the other way around. So if I come to you desperate for love, I might want to be loved by you because you're my friend, but if I'm trying to have you fill me up with love and attention so that I feel love inside me, I'm never going to find it. I'm going to get more and more desperate. I'm going to cling on more and more. And every time you withdraw even a tiny bit, I'm going to feel the absence of it again. And so it's going to be impossible. It's going to be a terrible friendship to be that way with you. So exactly, I loved the way that you said this, that sometimes we find that if we really turn towards receiving ourselves and our own lives, that what we long for is very, very close in. We can feel the warmth. There's a beautiful way of talking about it, Lizzie, that we can feel the warmth of our own bodies and our own presence if we'll come in close enough. So there's a sort of, in your story about looking at the leaf with Vespa, there's also, in order to receive, in order to be met by the truthful one, met by our own lives, there's certainly a sort of quietening down our grasping and our efforting that's called for, because what all the time we're doing that, it's like there's so much noise, it's really hard to find out what's here. And so many of the world's deeper spiritual traditions have ways to do that as well, ways to help us quieten and ways to help us be present right where we are and to orient to the world. I think awe and wonder and gratitude and all of those actually really help when we can find them to have the world meet us. The other thing I was thinking, Lizzie, is also how we can be this for one another. So if you're desperately searching for love and being very, 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 very needy in that way, I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but like grasping and getting, and then you, it may be because you're really, really caught in the forgetfulness. You've forgotten something about yourself, but because you've forgotten it, it seems so absent. And then we can really be gifts to one another, because if I can really see you, and in not in some glib or shallow way, but really be able to tell you about you, Lizzie, to tell you, to name qualities in you, to tell you about the courage that you are, for example, that I see. If I can accurately name qualities of this truthful one, qualities of life's essential expression in you that you may have forgotten, if I can be attentive enough and generous enough and precise enough to name that and to say, Lizzie, I can see how brave you are. I can see how much life force you have. I can see how much you love. I can, lots of different words I can use. Then you might have be lent some help in finding your way back to the very thing that you've lost contact with. And I know that you'll know this, of course, because we're talking about something that's really central to the way that we, you and I, and Third Space practice coaching, that this move of helping us remember, helping other people remember their essentialness. But I'm naming it here because it's good to talk about, but also because many of us don't have people who'll do that with us, who'll quieten down themselves and look us in the eye and say, I see your goodness, and in this very specific way that I think you may have lost contact with, and I want to remind you so you can remember. And that's partly how the truthful one finds its way into us when we're at home.
Such a beautiful way of inquiring, Justin. And I love that, like you said, it pushes us into these deeper inquiries when the source is so succinct. And I'm feeling filled with wonder and questioning and curiosity. And yeah, I'm really grateful for this. I'm grateful for the kind of, oh no, shall I bring this? It feels really challenging. And just saying yes. So thank you for being this person, Justin, who can be in the, I guess, the kind of no man's land of and finding that we have something to say and wander into together. So we are going to finish here. And Justin, thank you for this time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for following along. Like Justin said, if you have been here for a while, thank you for your newness into this, and welcome if you are. We love to hear from you. If you want to email us, you can email us at Lizzie or Justin, or hello at wearefree.com. thirdspace.org, but also at turningtowards.life. And you can go to turningtowards.life if you'd like to receive Justin's amazingly crafted emails that you can get into your inbox each week. So thank you for being with us, and we will see you next week, next Sunday, all being well, with a source chosen by Justin, maybe another brave one like these recent ones. Thanks,
As
everybody.
brave as we can. Bye bye.